and her mom and her friend. We went to her softball game on Saturday, in which they won. She's really good at it. I didn't realize how good she was. It was enjoying to see her playing a sport anyway. But, I'm going through verse by verse in the book of John. Man, I gotta take this. I'm about sweating with this. But verse by verse in the book of John, and I'm gonna start off a little different here today. I'm gonna go to 2 Timothy 2. And I'm just gonna read it, something in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Most of you probably know them by heart, but the Lord just put on my heart when I was sitting over there to hit a few things. So I'm gonna hit a few things before we get into the book of John. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And so what I want to say on that is Jesus Christ calls us. He says, endure hardness as a good soldier. And I'm just going to let you know now that when you're called to be a Christian, when you're a saved person, if you're living an easy life, there's something wrong. There's something amiss. There's many times in the Bible of the men of God and Christians and so on and so forth that they're having hard times. Why? Because in verse 4 it explains to you why we have such hard times. It says, no man that warreth. There's a war going on. There's ETH on the end of that war, which means it's going to continually be a war. It's not ever going to stop. Why? Because you're fighting the devil. You're fighting your flesh. You're fighting the world. I just know this for sure, for 100% sure, that it's almost a daily battle. Now, let me just clear something up. I don't mean that it's going to be a war to where you can't stand and everything's falling apart all the time. But there's a war going on, because every day, on a daily basis, you should be fighting your flesh. You should be fighting your sin nature. You should be fighting the devil and the temptations of this world on a daily basis. That has to. Hey, if you got it all down pat and perfect, please come and teach me, because I'd sure like to know how you do it. Because I don't have it down.
Amen, brother.
I don't have it down. I tell you what, it's a war. It's a war. And why do I fight this war so hard? Why am I in this battle so hard? I went for a job interview the other day, and I told some of you guys this. And man, the interview was going wonderful. Most of you know I have a rap sheet that spans from here out the door, clear out the door. And so I'm sitting in that job interview, and I got it nailed. Me and this lady, we got it going. She said, here, I have positions here. I got positions here. Here's one for you. It's top supermarket, just so you know. When I walked in, I told her the first thing was, I will never be a cashier because I don't promote the selling of alcohol or beer to anybody. So therefore, I won't ever be a cashier. But there's got to be another position. And it was food service. Hey, everybody knows me, knows I've always done that. Just God always opens the door for me to be in food. I don't know why. So I got the job just about nailed, and I'm sitting there, and she goes, there's one more thing we have to take care of. I said, yep. She slides a piece of paper to me, and she says, I need you to sign this thing. Have you ever been convicted of a felony? Okay. So I write down 1998, I fold the piece of paper up real quick, and I slide it over to her. She goes, I really need to see that. I didn't write nothing down. And so she opens it up, she goes, can you explain to me what this is? I said, ma'am, if I tell you what that is, you're gonna look at me as a totally different person. Because just before that, she goes, I would have never known that would have been you. I said, you're going to look at me in a totally different way once I say those words when they come out of my mouth. She goes, I have to know. I said, I got convicted of attempted first degree armed robbery. I did 5 years in prison. I said, but that's not who I am anymore, ma'am. I said, please, you just have to tell your corporation to give me a chance. She goes, well, that's up to corporate. I felt about that big sitting in that chair. And I didn't get angry with God. It wasn't God's fault. It was my decision for the things I'd done. But you know what I sat there and thought? All you people that are sitting in these church pews that are running for that garbage, that are going to make decisions in your life that are going to destroy you for the rest of your life. How do I know it? I can guarantee it. And not only for a job interview, ask my wife, when I go to college, I got to sit in front of a committee. You want to talk about being belittled? Keep making the decisions you're making. And one day it'll catch up to you. You may not be a convict. You may not go that way, but let me just remind you of this. There are also spiritual consequences to your life.
That's right.
There's eternal consequences to your life. Those decisions that you are making today will affect you for eternity. It's your choice. You want to strap your boots on and get in those trenches, man, and war to war? Or you just want to continue to be, and listen, I'm going to say this as nicely as I possibly can. Do you just want to continue to be the weak person that you are? Because you're not strong enough to stand in the trenches with Jesus Christ. He calls you to be a soldier to endure hardness. I'm sorry you're so soft and weak that you can't get in the trenches with the one who died for you and wants to give you. Now I can be bitter and angry. And I'm not going to be bitter and angry. Jesus Christ forgave me of that. That's one thing that I do know. That my whole life, everybody, including my mother, sat there, Dale, do the right thing. Dale, do the right thing. And the miracles that Jesus Christ has done in my life, they don't see. They hold on to those things that I have left behind. Society holds on to who I used to be. They can't let go of that Dale Morey. When Jesus Christ has forgiven me and he's washed me and cleansed me, and society still wants to beat me up over it, they hold on to that thing that Jesus Christ took away. Your whole life you're always here. You have to do the right thing. Make right decisions. Do the right thing. But they won't see that.
No.
What are you going to do with it? You're going to turn around and do what I used to do in the past and know that they're not going to see it and keep doing it over and over and over and over and over till it gets so big you go, how in the world did I get here? I'll tell you how. Every decision you make in life, it's going to follow you the rest of your life. That's a fact. Me and my wife were just in that back room having a bad time in our family. Bad time. Dark clouds over us again. They run out that door. Now, you know, the thought came, why don't you just tell Pastor to do 1 o'clock and go home? That's me standing up here today. You know why? Because I'm a human being. If it wasn't for him, I'd be nothing. So we're in the back room and me and my wife are crying. We're in this battle. We're in the trench, Lord. This is a real thing, Pastor. This is a real Christianity. I'm sorry, but I don't tiptoe through the tulips. It's not always happiness, joy, joy, and peace, peace. Man, give me some of that sometimes. You know why? Because it's a war. Is war fun? Anybody here can say war is always fun? Now, I can tell you this. There is peace that passes all understanding that we do get in the midst. There is peace. When my wife started, when they get up here and started singing those songs, the peace came up.
Glory. Amen.
Hey, but yeah, I want to stay out of church. Let me just fold my Bible up and not read it anymore. Let me quit coming. Let me put what God has to say on the back burner. It gets deep. We just sit back there. And she's looking at me and I'm reading this verse to her. She's crying. And I said, Amy, we're in this battle. I said, sometimes it feels like that we're reaching out and there's nobody to grab in our hand. It's lonely. It's lonely when you become a man of God. It's lonely. Listen, it's one thing to war when you're alone. But it's another thing to war when you have a family.
Yeah.
But hang on. It's even more when you war when you're in the ministry as well.
That's right.
You don't think sometimes I like to just kick my feet up and just sit there and do nothing? My phone rings. In this battle for myself. Sometimes I want to say no. You know what? I don't feel like going. I don't feel like answering their phone. And Jesus Christ has to remind me, remember when you were in that spot? What if they did that to you? What a pastor would have said, you know, I don't feel like answering him. I don't feel like talking to him right now. He made me mad. When you're in a battle, when you're in this ministry, it's not all about you anymore. You can go ahead and kiss that goodbye. And if it's still all about you, then I'm sorry to tell you, but you've missed it. You've missed it. So now when I'm in this battle, when I'm in this war, not only is it me, but I have, there's four of us right here. But then it goes beyond that, because now the people that I'm in the ministry, that I'm working with, I reach out to them and I'm with them. You know whose responsibility that is? Mine. God gave them to me. It's my responsibility. How dare I want to put myself before these people or before the ministry? That's a no-no that I'm learning very quickly.
I just had to say that because it's a war.
Let me spell it right, because sometimes Miss Ruth Ann looks at me funny. W-A-R-R-E-T-H. That E-T-H means it's going to be something that's continual. It's a continual battle, and he calls us to be soldiers, regardless of your feelings. It's standing on the faith. Do all things heartily as unto the Lord and not as of men. If I was to sit there and say, you know what, today I'm not doing nothing. Pastor, you come up here and preach. I just did that for myself. Shame on me. Shame on me. My wife gets tired, she gets wore out, you know? And the thing is this, I have to clear something up because it eats me alive. There's people out there who believe that I send my wife out there to work while I do nothing. Let me just clear this up. She's working by circumstance, not by choice.
Right.
If there was a job that I could get hired at to support my family, never a day again would she ever step foot having to work. We don't have a choice right now. It's by circumstance, not by choice. One day, Lord willing, he can change that up. But you know, it takes a lot to come together as a family. The very first person that I called after that, let me just say, you can think of me whatever way you want. Call me a wimp, a little whatever you want, softy or whatever, but I cried after that interview. You know who was there for me? My wife.
Amen.
I called her and I said, babe, they done it again. And she said, it's all right. You have us, you have me and the kids, and we need you dearly. And that just strengthened me even more to hear my family say how much they needed me. Because for the first time in my life, I'm wanted by somebody. I'm needed by somebody.
Amen.
That's just what I had to say. Please turn with me to John. John 1. It's a battle. It's a battle. This thing is a real, this is real. And then not only I'm reading all these, man. I'm reading the books on different, oh man. Right, you know, now I look at people on a whole different spectrum because the one book I'm reading made it clear that there's people waving King James Bibles up there and they have no clue what it means. They don't even know if they really believe it. I mean, you just look and you go, my goodness, how do they, are they really taking this thing serious? I mean, why did he give us the Bible? Is it for us just to look at or just to read, maybe get some wisdom here and there? He gave it to us to do what it says. Not just to hear it. To do it. Why? Because he knows better than we do on how to run this thing. I'm just going to tell you now. I would be an absolute, and I'm not perfect. You can ask my wife and kids, but I would be an absolute failure as a husband and being a dad if it wasn't for this Bible teaching me how to be that.
Amen.
This Bible, in the age of 2015, teaches me how to be a dad and a husband. For somebody, well, that's old and outdated, really. The thing that's old and outdated is your brain, the way you think. That's what's old and outdated. This King James Bible can teach you in 2015 and so on. Why? Because God wrote it. God wrote it. It's from Him. He put this thing for us. He knows us better than we know us. Oh, yeah, I know everything, do you? Start reading the Bible and tell me you know everything. You really want to take a look at what you really are? Woo! All right, John 1:12. I'm just going to do a recap. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He was just talking about some of the Jews that he was talking to the Jewish people. He came for his own people. They rejected him, but some did believe. That's what that verse was talking about. Some did believe. As many as received him. And there's John 1:13, it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 13 is talking about those who were born again, not of man's work, but of God. So many people, Pastor, get this at the 11 o'clock service, think that it's religion, they think it's works, and it has, listen, salvation has nothing to do with you except for you coming crawling to a holy God and asking Him to forgive you and repent of what you are. Everything else falls into God's hands. Has nothing to do with your works. If I was to be saved by my works, I'd be burning in the lake of fire for eternity. You know why? Because my righteousness really is nothing. Me standing up here, my very prayer this morning was like, Lord, if you can't get up here with me, then you just stop me from even getting up there. You know who tried? The devil. Tried to get my flesh to tell me not to come up here because I'm not in the mood. Good. Don't be in the mood. Don't be in the mood. Who said it was going to be fun? Who said it was going to be fun? I look at some of these preachers sometimes, it's all fun and games to them. Man, how'd you get there? I'm just telling you now, and I'm not complaining a bit about the ministry that I'm in, but I tell you, if I sat up here and said it was easy, because not only do I have everybody else and my family, but what about me? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I still got a war that's going on with me. I'm not perfect. I told Amy today, I said, sometimes I feel like people look at me like I have it all down. Man! Oh no! I know it. I'm a human being. Those thoughts you have in your head and your heart, guess what? I'm guilty. Yeah. That's part of the whole war, though. The more that I give to the Lord, the more that I'm doing things for Him, the more that I'm studying and reading, the less of me I can worry about. The less of me, things just start flowing like they're supposed to. Anyway, let me not get off of it. So anyway, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of man, will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Verse 13 is talking about born again people. Turn with me to John 3. So a couple books over, John 3. Jesus explains to a Jewish person. Now we're just talking about Jewish people here. Some believe. To them He gave power. That also goes for the Gentiles. There's room in there for the Gentiles. We've been grafted in. But go with me to John. He's talking to a Jew who's Nicodemus. And we're going to go to John 3, starting verse 3. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. We cannot be born again only by Jesus Christ. It is not by anything that we do. That's why, go ahead and read verse 13. It says, which were born not of blood. Well, blood, that would make a woman giving birth to a child. It's not how a person is saved. It's not by blood. It's not by something a human does. Nor the will of the flesh. Nor the will of man. But of God. That is how a person is saved. This whole salvation thing does not come require me of anything. Because if I could do anything for myself to be saved, then Jesus Christ would have never had to go on that cross. Why would He have to die? If I could work my way to heaven, if I could follow the law to the perfect T, I mean, if I could do all that. Listen, here's the thing. It could never happen. It's impossible. So therefore, salvation could not come by me. It has to come from the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He says, no man will see the Father but by me. We have to be saved by Jesus Christ. That is it. That goes for a Jew too. You know, he's standing here talking to a Jewish person. John 1 is saying that some rejected, but some believed. To those who believed, He gave them the power to become the sons of God. He gave them that power.
Right.
It wasn't something they got on their own. He gave them that power to become that. When I got saved, it wasn't on my own power. The Lord gave me that. He gave me that on that day, October 10, 2011. 90 and a half East Main Street. Broke as broke could be. Finally, the Lord showed me the very final thing that I needed to see about myself. And it was over. Over. I mean, He cracked me wide open. And I'll just tell you this. Good or bad, I have not been the same since. Just have not. It would have been impossible for me to be where I am today. And I'm not even talking about the ministry. I'm just talking my attitude, my heart, my desires, and so on and so forth. All that day was impossible for me to change. Pastor said it right. Things that he never thought possible to change. There's things in my life that I thought I was going to be stuck with for eternity. Smoking was one of them. I really thought I was going to die smoking. I really did. God was merciful to me. One day, just done. Me and my wife together. Just, it was gone. God is good like that. And I thank God for it. We're born again through Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John 14. Turn with me to John 14. I know it's hot. And everybody's tired. And I know it's rough up here. It's rough. Just try to stay awake. Let's do some Bible exercise. John 14, we're going to read 6 through 9. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by my means. It says, now Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and suffice thee. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you yet? Hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest? That's where I wanted to stop. So he's saying that the only way to come to God the Father is through him. And then Philip goes on and says, well, show us the Father. He says, have I been with you so long? He's making himself God right there. I mean, I was reading a book, and this is from an atheist guy. It was a little quote that he made saying, there's never one time that Jesus ever makes himself equal with God. I said, what Bible are you reading? What do you have a hold of? Because I can show you plenty of verses where Jesus makes himself God. There's one of them right there. And you know what? You're not going to get to the Father. You're not going to get to the Father unless it's by Jesus. And he made that clear right there in that verse. Philip, have I been with you so long? He's standing there between him and God is Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You can't go around that thing. There's no way to get around it. You know, good works. You think you have good works? Why don't you read the Bible? I'll show you how good your works are worth. You think you can do it on your own will? You think you can do it on your own strength? Why don't you go ahead and read that Bible and see how much of that strength you really have? Maybe I just got it all mixed up. Maybe I'm the fanatic that believes the King James Bible. Forgive me for that. But I'll just tell you this now. There's more people that are sitting in church pews that claim to believe a King James Bible, and they're false. Amen. They have no clue what it means to believe a King James Bible. Not one bit. You know how I know? Look at their life.
Boom.
And I say that only because I know the power of God that comes through that Bible and has done to me. That's how I say it. That's the proof I have. You want some human being proof? I have two or three witnesses to what I used to be. My mom is one of them. Amy's another. And I have many family members that attest to the person that I used to be to the person I am today. Where did that come from? How did it happen? Sure wasn't by man. Man gave up on me. You know, they told me I can't help you anymore.
No.
So tell me. Let me just tell you this. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. None. God wooed me to him. Because in my nature, there is no way that I would have ever sat there and said, you know, one day I'll just think about being a Christian. I think I'll just go out there and maybe I'll be a Christian now and I'll start doing the right thing and, you know, maybe try to fit in with them guys. No. 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 God wooed me to himself. He started showing me little bits of little things. The taste of goodness, he says. The taste of goodness. Hey, you know, my family's going through a hard time right now, but I can stand up here and smile. You know what? Because I'll think of the goodness. What's our Bible verse? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Why do you think he put that in there? Just to look at, because it's a good verse? When you're going through it, why don't you try doing it? Now, I tell you that because that's what me and my wife have to practice that. I don't have the answer. Jim, I love seeing you here, brother. We're talking about missing you on Wednesday night, too. Just the prayer group is different without Jim there.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm just saying, he says that, have I been with you long? Now, listen, I know nobody believes in God, or if you believe in some other God, or some other, you know what's going on? It's the devil of this world has blinded the minds of the people. It's gotten so far, and so bad gone, that the generations, God has been kicked out of everything. And guess who? Listen to me. church people. We're the ones kicking God out of everything. We want to go out there and blame it on the secular world? What about your house? What about your home? Are you taking this thing serious? Are you taking this real? Or are you kicking them out just like the rest of everybody else? And then you want people to come to your church so they can see how good and touche of a Christian you are. Fooey. Fooey on that. What about when nobody's looking? Miss or mister? What about when nobody's home with you? What are you looking at? What are you reading? What are you touching? What are you saying? I know you're right. I don't have a clue. But I'll tell you who does. God Almighty's watching every move you make. One of my best friends, Joe Catone, grew up with. We did a lot of dirt together, me and that dude. But he was my best friend on the streets, off the streets. I mean, from prostitutes and you name it, man, all the way down. Me and Joe Catone, we lived in the same house and we did everything together. There was nothing that we didn't do. Matter of fact, he was just a couple years older than me. He's dead now. I just found out. And that broke my heart. Because you know what I realized? He just couldn't leave it alone. He couldn't leave that lifestyle alone. He just couldn't walk away from it. I'm going to tell you this right now. He's burning in the flames of hell. I don't care if you believe about hell or not. But I'm telling you now, his decisions, he's burning in hell. And I just found out yesterday, his mother walked in the bedroom and found him dead on his bed. He said, well, gosh, you know what? I cried. It broke my heart. I tried with Joe. Me and Pastor went and visited Joe. Me and my wife, we went many times to work with him. And he rejected it. And you know what? It's over with. That's it. For eternity. He don't have a decision now. He chose that. Let me just tell you. There's more to consequences than just on this earth. There's eternal consequences. And if you don't believe that, then I feel sorry for you. I do. I feel sorry for you. And you ain't looking at somebody who grew up in the Bible. You're looking at somebody that God pulled off the streets, out of prison. I hung with the best of them. I fought with the best of them. I tried to kill people with the best of them. And Jesus Christ seemed fit to save me. And he wants to do the same for you. But you want to live out there in the world. It's all right being out there in the world. It's pretty cool being out there in that world. I'm telling you now, the things that I'm running from, you're running to. And I'm telling you now, I'm trying to wave a white flag and tell you, don't do it. Don't do it. It ain't worth it. The pain and suffering is not worth it. I could not pay. Listen, for you, those that have kids, picture them where you were. How about dads? How about, are we man enough to stand up and do this for our children? Are we man enough? You know what it says? It says, train them up in the way. It says, admonish them in the things of the Lord. That's what it says to do. And you know what? It doesn't say anger.
Right.
It doesn't say do it out of frustration. You know what it says? James 1:20, or I think it's James 1:20. It says that the anger, wrath is not the righteousness of God. I may have misquoted that. I can't teach my children in fear. I can't teach them in anger, because you know what it's going to do? It's going to discourage them. They're going to want nothing to do with it. I have nobody else to blame but me. 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 You know what? My daughter claims she got saved. You know what? I'm treating it as so. And until she learns better, she's looking to me and mommy to help guide her in this Bible.
Amen.
Now, you know how that happened? And I pat myself on the back. I just want to show you. Sitting at our kitchen table, teaching my kids the Bible. Are you teaching your kids the Bible at home?
No.
Well, ask yourself, is that important to you? Are you teaching them at home? If not, maybe you should. Maybe it's time to start getting your Bible at dinner time when you're supposed to be together. You should be at least eating dinner together. Grab that Bible. My daughter sets the table. Do you know what's part of our setting every night? Autumn, what's part of our setting every night, honey? She sets it right where I sit, right in front of me, because we're going to teach that Bible at dinner. That's what the Bible says for us to do, man. Teach her, you know, teach him. I thank God that he's given me that. Yeah, that's just another thing in the war. It's just another thing in the battle.
But all the bombs are dropping around me and my family. What am I going to do? Am I going to grab the Bible or am I going to run from it? I'm trying to run to it. Trust me, what I tell you today has been a dark, black day. It's been a long time. I haven't had a day like this on a Sunday. Yeah. I get up in the mornings, I'm ready for church. I'm ready to come hallelujah, shouting, backflipping, whatever I can do. Today was not so. And I got up early, prayed, read, started studying some more of that book. I had three Bibles laid out in front of me, comparing verse by verse. It was one of the darkest days that I've been in a long time in this church. That if I've been standoffish, and I apologize, I'm having a bad day. I'm not one to fake it. I'm not going to walk around and be all happy when I'm not happy. My wife was sitting in the back room. I was sitting in the office. People see me there. Why? Because I just wasn't a happy person. I wasn't in the mood to talk. And I'd rather not take it out on anybody. Oh, but you're a preacher. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a human being. Just not forget that. Let's not forget that I'm a human being. I have feelings. So that's why I was doing what I was doing. I have nothing against anybody. Turn with me, if you could, to Romans 8. Romans 8. I want to say a few more things. We're going to get through some of this today. God's just got his mind's in other places right now. I have to be obedient when I say, because I'm going to have to answer in eternity. I'm going to have to answer for the things that I say or don't say. You know, God puts something in my heart and I disobey him and not say it, then whose fault is that? I'm going to have to answer for it, none of you. Pastor knows that. He's going to have to answer for every word he says. Man. And if I say it wrong because I'm in the flesh, which I can be, Lord help me when I get it. Yeah, there goes that crown. Oh, boy, that is it. Yeah, you know, whoop, there they go. Whoop, there they go. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. You see that? God gave a law, and his Bible calls it weak. His word calls his own law, the very law that God wrote, he calls it weak. Why? Because it's not able to save. It's weak. Why? Because it takes somebody who's in the flesh and tries to make them right, and it just could not happen. God looked down from heaven and he said, it's just not going to work. But you know what? He gave us the cure. What is that? Jesus Christ. He gave the cure for that, so we're not accountable to that. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate that, buddy. It says, for it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. You see that S-I-N? That's singular. That's that sin nature. He died for every person's sin nature that's sitting in this room. And if you think you don't have one, here, come to my house and I'll get in the Bible with you and I'll show you what God calls your sin nature. Number two, I beg you to go watch a child. You can watch them in our churches. There's two of them sitting right there. I'm not the mic too. And you'll see their sin nature popping up all over the place. Okay? Why? Pastor said it, he nailed it on the head. It's one of my favorite things to tell people. You don't have to teach children how to do bad. They're already born that way. They already know that. And so therefore, that thing there has to be taken care of. It's got to be. Thank you, Zane. I really appreciate that, buddy. It's got to be taken care of. It says it's sin. And then condemns sin in the flesh. God gave a law which man could not follow. God seeing that the law did not fix the problem. So God fixed the problem of the law in Jesus. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit. See that capital S? Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. No longer am I going to stand there and be accountable for what the law couldn't do for me. Why? Because I have Jesus Christ. If you are in this room tonight and you do not have Jesus Christ, you are accountable for everything you have done and are going to do. That's a fact. I don't believe that. That's fine. You don't have to believe it for it to be true. Okay? The reason why you don't believe it is because nobody's ever taught you the Bible. The Bible's been kicked out of your house. The Bible's been kicked out of this country. And nobody wants God anymore. That's why you don't know what you don't know. Listen, I'm 43 years old. Most of you people in here are pretty young. And if I didn't hear it, you sure didn't hear it. You sure didn't hear it. But you know what? I thank God that God, while sitting in Gowanda Correctional Facility, which is a prison, that old-time Baptist church faithfully came in and taught me on Thursday nights a King James Bible. Now, did I get saved in there? No, I did not. Did I have, you know what I had? Jailhouse profession. That's what I had. A jailhouse profession. It was just as fake as somebody who was sitting there with an NIV trying to preach to me. It meant nothing. It was worthless. Worthless. Mm-hmm. I got out, went back to doing some drinking and some abuse. Lost, knew I was lost for the first time in my life. Shingle House used to do RU. I went over there, I came home crying one night to my pastor. I said, "Pastor, I'm lost." He goes, "I know." He goes, "Now you know what you need to do, get in that Bible, believe, trust Jesus Christ, trust Him." And for 3 years, I sat on the preacher. For 3 years, I searched. Until one day, a man of God named by Willis Shanks, and I thank God for, I love him. I pray for him on a daily basis. You ask my wife, I pray for him every day. He got up here and preached the Word of God, exactly what I needed to hear, and I got saved that night. For 4 years, going on October, make 4 years that I got saved. You know what? The Lord delivered me from that garbage. Delivered me from that junk. You know what He wants to do? He wants to deliver every person that's sitting in this room. I know you. Some of you look at me like I'm funny and I got six heads on me and all that. That's fine though. Because yes, I'm a fanatic for a King James Bible. Why? Because I used to be a fanatic for the devil, for my own flesh, and everything else. And now I want to live out the rest of my days. And people go, "You know, that Dale Moore, you know what? He sure loved that Bible. He sure loved that Jesus Christ, didn't he?" That's what I want to be known as. That's why I want to be known. You know what? I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus Christ. You know what else I can't do it without? My brothers and my sisters. I'm asking you today to please pray for me and my wife. And I'm begging you to pray for me and my wife. I don't know many men of God that get up there and will say that, but I will. I like prayer. I like when you guys pray for me because things happen in our life. And I'm talking about good things. So therefore, I'm more boisterous about saying, "Hey, can you pray for me and my family?" And I just appreciate your prayers. I appreciate everything that you guys do for us. I love coming to this church, and I love what God's doing here. There's great, wondrous things. I'm glad for the visitors we have here. And I thank God, you know, I'm gonna mention this, and I'm going to be done. This comes out of that book, the Manuscript Evidence. He says, so many people say the Lord this and the Holy Spirit this and that, you know, He led me here and He led me there. And you know what He says? He said they have no clue what they are talking about.
Right.
Why? Because they don't even pick up their Bible and they're saying they're led of the Lord. They have no singular clue of what they're saying. So many people, the Romans wrote and praying this and praying. You know, these people don't know. They have no clue. They know they have all these people converging on them and say, "Pray this," and it'll all be done and over with. And they go home feeling the same. You know, they might feel good for 24 hours, maybe 48 hours. But all of a sudden, you know what? They're gonna hit that brick wall. And this is what me and my wife used to do. We'd be like, "Man, something just isn't right." But we would tell people, "Hey, man, sir, can you help us? Something ain't right with our salvation. I don't know what happened." "Oh, don't worry. Let me just tell you this. When I got saved, I didn't have to come to my pastor and say, "Hey, can you help me with my salvation?" It was hope and faith. And no offense. Amy didn't go around to a pastor and say, "Can you help me with my salvation?" No. He took care of it. It's over. It's a salvation you can know. And so, go home. If you never pick up a Bible, pick up a King James Bible. If you want to know why, come sit with me at my table. I can explain to you why, because I've been studying hard on where the garbage these other people use and why they use them and such. And why this is the written Word of God and why it stands the way it does. And the stuff is fascinating. Don't argue with somebody who tells you the King James Bible is the true Word of God if you don't know the reasons, if you don't know the facts behind it. He also said this, and I'm closing. He said, so many get up there, preachers and such, and they'll wave this Bible. "I believe it's the infallible Word of God," and blah, blah, blah. He goes, "You know what?" He goes, they have no clue what's behind it. You ask them if it's the true Word of God, it is, but. There might be this discrepancy in it. There might be this contradiction in it. Oh, that's wrong. Or that. You know what? They don't believe. The very King James Bible defenders don't believe a King James Bible. And I'm just telling you, my eyes were open to that this week. I've known it in the back of my head, but I wasn't able to confirm it until I started reading that book and comparing. He does a good job when he goes, because he uses a King James Bible to back everything he says up. And so I'm done with that. Thank you for listening.